Who's going to do the Savannah part? You do the Savannah
part. I'll do the Savannah part. I have nothing witty or even remotely. Well, would you even say the word is
intelligent?
Yes. No, Quiva. We just established her like 5 months ago. I was like really, really smart. Anything of substance, we'll say, too. And before we dive in, so I suppose we need to finish off this baldy, beady-eyed bitch once and for all.
Finally.
Because, oh, also, actually, before we get into baldy, fucking beady-eyed bitch, I don't know if when the creepy piano music started playing last week,
oh yeah,
if that was him haunting us, or if it was, or the creepy violin music, sorry, or if we were predicting war odds. And also, before we even get into this, obviously tensions are very, very, very high right now between Ukraine and Russia. Poor Ukrainians, obviously, thoughts with fucking all of those. Russia, go fuck yourself. No disrespect. Actually, no, full disrespect. Not to the people, to Putin. You know, if you know, you know. Anyway, because this story centres around, like, kind of Ukraine and Russia, we had the first two episodes of this recorded before shit went down. So I'm
we
sure...
We are recording this third part of this episode, of this three-parter on the 1st of March, okay?
Yeah, like, so shit went down last week.
Shit went down last week and we had recorded the second episode previous to that. This was not intentional.
No, absolutely not at all. And I feel like we'll probably do like a little thing before this is released anyway. It's, it was just entirely bad timing, I think. Unintentionally. Yeah, like,
a Russian serial killer.
Yeah. Well, he was Ukrainian and then murdered a bunch of Russians. Like, look. Shlokshalisan. Obvs, this isn't speaking to anything that's happening now, of course. Obviously. But it feels like odd timing to have it come out now, but also there's nothing we can do because at the very start of it we had already recorded before.
We have to finish it off.
Yeah, we have to finish it off, and it's just unfortunate that this is all going down. But what we can do, in the episode description there is a load of links and donation websites, people asking for like charity and stuff to help support people like caught in Ukraine that or their fucking houses and stuff have been destroyed, or they've had to abandon literally their whole entire lives, flee the country. So there's going to be like loads and loads and loads of helpful websites out there, and we can have them all linked in the description. So if anybody is feeling like giving a helping hand or making a charitable donation, you can do so through one of these links. With that being said then, I reckon we dive on in.
I hate that you changed it.
I did. Because guess what? Did I kind of forget for a hot second exactly what she said, even though we've been saying it for over 65 weeks? Yes.
You've literally forgotten your own fucking
tagline before, so...
Yeah. It's on brand.
It's on brand. It's on brain damage, but look.
I obviously used a few different, like, sources, but there was, discrepancy between the dates sometimes.
Yeah.
So I just picked a source. I just went with Murderpedia because they're standard, like, I feel like they're fairly accurate 90% of the time. Well, most of the time. Aren't they fairly
accurate? I feel like, to be fair, we love a bit of Murderpedia.
Yeah, so they were, I just went with the dates. I just said I'd pick one source and go with the dates on them.
Yes.
And at least then if it's inaccurate, it's consistently inaccurate. If
you
that
know
makes
what?
Sense.
No, and I fully agree. I fully agree.
Okay, so I guess we're just jumping straight back into the fucking murders, because we obviously left off, Savannah left off on the first murder of 1988, okay, which was a young girl. So I'm starting back into 1988, May 14th, Andre kills again.
Sorry, before you even continue, not a tangent, but the way you said that sounded like it was the sequel of a horror film. Andre kills again.
I know, I'm so bad at
No. It was absolutely fab. My mind just went to like a stupid fucking place where I was like Michael Myers or something like that, or like Freddy or Jason kills again. Do you know, like that kind of shit?
Like Halloween kills, like Jason's back.
Yeah.
Michael did not die despite being stabbed 800 fucking times and lit on fire and buried alive.
Burnt alive. Yeah. Make it make sense.
So Andre strikes again, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go and say exactly what Savannah said last time. I'm going to butcher these names, but I'm going to say them with confidence. So mm-hmm. if I say them wrong, I'm my bad, but I'm just going to say them the way I think they're probably said, right? So Andre kills a 9-year-old boy named... Oh, the first one is a really hard one.
There goes the confidence.
Bear with me. Leosia mm-hmm. Voronko in the Ukrainian city of Ilovaisk. Okay, so obviously they did, you know, they found the boy's body and they did like an autopsy, etc. Do you know, to see what happened.
Yeah.
And the wounds that were left on the body were consistent with the serial killer. Okay, so they were like, obviously this boy has been killed by the same person as everyone else and his murder was linked to the manhunt that was going on. So mm-hmm. obviously they were looking for Andre and this boy is yet another one of their of his not confirmed yet victims, but they're like, it has to be him.
Has to be him, yeah.
So that was in May 14th and in July 14th, so exactly 2 months later, Andre killed a 15-year-old boy named Zienia at Donleskos station near Shakti. Not that that means anything, but it's near Shakti, just for...
Yeah, one of his favourite places.
Yeah. So his murder was also linked to the investigation, although his body wasn't found until a year later, in April 1989. So when he was found, his remains were obviously, like, fairly...
decomposed.
Yeah. Like, he was mostly just skeleton. Not to be too super grim about it, but it was mostly skeletal. But his, when they did the autopsy, his autopsy revealed that he had been, and the word was used, emasculated, which is,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that he had suffered at least 30 knife wounds. And when they say at least, I mean, I'm presuming they mean that 30 of those wounds hit bone. 30 of those knife wounds hit bone. That they were able to say.
Oh my God.
Do you get me? Like.
Yeah.
Because obviously they wouldn't be able to tell, okay, he was stabbed here, unless it left a mark on his
skeleton. On the bone. Yeah.
Yeah.
But as well, like, the force that you would have to have
to, like, oh, it's serious force.
Do you know what, for it to nick bone and leave physical marks on bone, like, that's rage.
Yeah.
Like, and I it's would excitement like, as well for this cunt.
Especially human bones, like, I would... It's not obviously not the same, but like the amount of force you'd need to chip concrete. Do you know?
Even yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, obviously fucking sick, right? So, the month before this boy's body was found, Andre killed a 16-year-old girl named Tatiana Rysova. And this crime actually occurred in his daughter's apartment in Shakti. So, he found this girl. He lured her inside, he gave her vodka, and the words they used were he seduced her.
Oh.
He didn't seduce her, he was not fucking age and he was gross looking.
Yeah, like we said before, beady-eyed, bald-headed bitch. No way was he seducing anybody, him and his fucking widow peak, that's far past peaking.
Not at the age he was here, like he was good looking for about 2 years there in the middle. Like maybe then I'd say fair enough when he was like in his early, like this isn't...
No, not when the man has barely any teeth left in his head as well, like.
Exactly. He wasn't seducing not a singular person, right? He was... No, man was fucking pushing 50, like, if not over 50. He's not seducing no.
He's not seducing anybody. He's being creepy and rapey. That's exactly what he's being.
And also, I don't like... Don't use the word seduced for an underage person. Thank you.
No. Oh. Fucking... Thank you.
Because even if...
Thank you.
We're pretending even if she was up for it, she was still underage. It's still gross. And it's not seducing, it's still statutory rape. So, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it wasn't at the time. I don't know what the... Regardless, don't use that word.
It's
gross.
Yeah.
Whatever happened, and Andre flips the fuck out. He stabbed her and killed her and then violated her body.
Oh.
So, yeah. So, obviously, he's fucking sick in the head. And he's like, I've just killed this girl. And he's like, I can't leave her body just here, like in the apartment. I mean, obviously. Andre does what he thought was the logical thing. And he took a kitchen knife and he cut her up. So he decapitated her, sawed off her legs, and then wrapped her up in rags and scraps of clothing. He then tied the bundles to a sled belonging to a neighbor and dragged it to the streets to an area where he dumped her remains. And I saw somewhere that, but it wasn't said anywhere else, so I didn't want to include it as like fact, but it was said that he dumped her body in a sewer.
Right, okay.
When obviously Tatiana's body was found, police didn't link her murder to Andre, like mm-hmm. to the serial killer that they were looking for, because she had been dismembered, like she'd been, which wasn't.
Yeah, it was different, yeah.
Which I mean, I get as well, but also, I would you not be like, okay, the body was dumped in a different place, she was killed in a similar way, you know?
Like, I feel like it's normal enough to think, okay, well, he's done this enough times now, maybe he's bored of the way that he's doing it, could he possibly be escalating? Like, I feel like that's a normal assumption to have, and why they didn't.
Yeah, and like, he's dumped her out, like, he's dumped her in kind of an awkward place, so, it may, you know, anyways, they didn't link her, okay? So, on May 11th, 1989... Andre killed an 8-year-old boy named Sasha Jankunov, and there's no real details on him or the next murder, which occurred in June on June 20th, 1989, when he killed a 10-year-old boy named Lucia Mustjadev. Apologies to that boy, but your name is quite hard to say. Listen, I'm sorry, have a Russian try and cover a murder that was someone killed me, they're not going to be able to say my name either, okay?
Oh, absolutely. No, look, it's like no disrespect intended, but sure, look, it happens, can't help it.
There's a lot of J's, and I know the J's make Y sounds, but the Y sounds are going after letters that I wouldn't normally assume a Y sound would go after, so I'm kind of like, how do I say that?
Yeah,
it's like I know what sounds each letter is meant to make, but it's hard to make those sounds in order.
No, of course, because you're the muscles in your mouth aren't used to like moving like that, you know what I'm saying? So for you just to try do it off the bat, it's hard, like,
exactly.
It feels wrong, it physically feels wrong when you do it.
Yeah, I feel so disrespectful, but I nearly said August 19th Andre strikes again, but he did. He keeps striking again, like he keeps coming back. He killed a 19-year-old girl named Yelena Varga. It's so embarrassing, but this man was on the way to his father's birthday party.
As if.
And I'm like,
the one that he was ashamed of because he was a fucking prisoner of war. But it's like, okay, on my way there, I'm not going to stop over for a coffee or to stretch my legs because I'm getting cramped up in the fucking car. I'm actually just going to go out and murder a young one.
Because what else would you want to be doing?
Killing time, like, you know?
He was on the way and he passed her. She was sitting at a bus stop waiting for her bus, obviously. And he offered to walk her home.
Mm-hmm.
So this girl accepted. And instead of Andre obviously walking her home, he lured her into the woods and stabbed her. Being the dirty fucking prick that he was, cut out her uterus.
Oh, fucking God.
Sliced off part of her face before he wrapped the remains in her clothing and left for the party.
Ew, did he put her face back in her clothes as well? I don't know why. Like, right, this is very stupid and it's something like you to be getting fucking caught up on. But
no, the fact but if that someone cut my face off and then put my cold face that's no longer attached to my face onto my bare skin, like inside my clothes.
That's just so, like, it's not a fucking pocket hanky. That's my face. Will you please just leave it where it is? Don't be shoving it into my clothes, like.
Like, I feel like for all the world, it would feel like, I mean, and it's on your face as well. So, well, it's August, so it's probably not cold. I'm thinking a room temperature fucking breast of chicken is after being stuffed into your clothes. Like, that's what it would feel like.
Yeah. Do you know what? That's exactly what it's like. A bit of ham coming out the fridge.
Yeah.
To shove in your pocket.
But even
it wouldn't be half as disrespectful if he would have left it on the floor or something. I'm just gonna say it.
Yeah, you'd nearly rather he fucking ate it or, well, no, but like, it would nearly, for her sake, I'd rather it if I were her.
Yeah, don't put it in my clothes.
Don't give it back to me. You could have just not cut it off.
Exactly, it's a waste.
Like, why'd you cut it off then? And also, what, you to like stuff it in?
That's it. Like, his fat little fingers are going to have to try poke that in there, and it, like, it keeps on falling out, and he's wasting time and effort. Her face is fucking gone, and he's trying to just like jam that in her pocket. Like, for what? Like, literally, everything else might have a purpose. Like you said, if he was to eat it, which is obviously still fucking massively gross and sick, that has a purpose. To cut it off and then just put it in a pocket is just,
but I'd also nearly want you, like, put it in the bin. Don't give it back to me. I don't want it anymore. Don't cut off my face and then try and give it back. I don't actually want it anymore.
Yeah, thanks. I actually have no need for it anymore. Why? Like, I'm actually fully dead.
Even fucking stick it back where it was. Don't put it in my clothes. Don't tuck it in.
I fully agree.
We're getting very caught up on the morality of, you know, what you should do when someone's, you know, someone's cut your fucking face off. you know, if I, but if I personally was to have to cut off someone's face, I would be respectful about it.
Oh yeah, because why, it would have purpose as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like it's annoying because it's pointless.
Yes.
The things that are pointless are always more annoying. So on August 28th, 1989, 9 days later, Andre killed a 10-year-old boy named Alyosha Chobotov. And this boy had met Andre in a Rostov video shop. They're not really sure what happened, but all they know is that he had died of multiple stab wounds and was buried in Rostov Cemetery by Andre.
Right.
Maybe this is the Irish Catholic in me. But you don't bury someone in a cemetery without a priest or some sort of a fucking, not even a priest, but like,
I feel like it's one, it's just kind of bad form. Like, one, you don't know if that person, like, you're already after taking this person's, like, you know, their fucking life. You've killed them. But as well, like, imagine if they weren't even like religious, to safely bury them in like a Catholic fucking burial ground, and they could have been buried like, in a Protestant or something.
Imagine getting buried in a Protestant graveyard.
Like, personally, I would be fine, but could you imagine, like,
I like an older person or something? I wouldn't really care, but also I would really rather like not. Like, if I had to, if I could choose, like, it wouldn't bother me. But if you could choose, you would choose elsewhere. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. Like, you're not wrong. Like, I suppose, like, when you're dead, you're dead, and it's just somewhere where you're being put. But also, you know what I mean? I suppose you just want to get, like, if you are religious, you just get buried
where you're meant to
in
be
a cemetery. Yeah.
And also, what happens then if you're in someone else's plot? And then these.
But that's it. That's it. Like, you're taking up somebody's family plot there.
We're so Irish, man.
They pay so money for that.
They pay rent on that fucking spot.
Yeah.
And you robbed it.
You've actually, they've been holding out. This plot has been in this family for the last fucking 80 years. Has not been got chance to be used yet, thank God.
And now you've put some poor 10-year-old that you've brutally murdered into it. So nobody else can use it anyways. Because it's not like they can take him out, because that's still his spot. So he's going to haunt whoever you put in. That's bad juju.
100%.
So now, what are we supposed to do? Now we're down a spot.
You've a haunted plot. 7 people now need to find somewhere else to go.
You fucked it entirely.
The graveyard's actually full. Yeah, it's actually full. The field, right beside it, you can go there, but guess what? It floods. So you're going to be a floaty corpse. And every time it rains, guess what?
You're going to rise further and further to the surface until eventually you burst out of it like a fucking zombie.
Yeah.
Fucking Andre, man. He's just so inconsiderate. I swear to fuck.
The height of fucking rudeness from this lad. I swear to God.
I don't like this now.
No, I don't like this. Not at all.
So, obviously this year, 1989, the police were recovering bodies. And many of these bodies were missing part. Many of the females were missing their uterus and nipples.
Oh.
The males had their genitals and occasionally their tongues sliced or bitten off.
Oh, it's my bitten, bit a bitten.
You dirty fuck. You dirty.
Wait. Rewind it back. Because I don't know if it was just the initial shock of hearing that. Was he biting their dick off? Is that what you said? Or was it their tongue? Or both?
Oh.
Oh my God.
It said genitals and occasionally tongues sliced or bitten off.
Oh my God, ew, he bit their dick off.
I just presumed, see, when I first read that, like when I first was doing my notes, I just presumed they were talking about the tongues. That their genitals were just removed.
Yeah.
But you're so right.
They were, I'm so right. Ew.
Their genitals or tongues, ew, were.
But how? Then biting their tongues off as well. Like, they're like that's, that bitch is thick.
Like, you have to choose.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Ew. No, because I was starting to imagine. No. No.
Gross. Okay.
No, okay. We're moving. We're skipping. On we mush.
Okay, so of the 4 bodies that were found in 1989, so there was the 3 boys and that 1 girl. Mm-hmm. They were sure that 2 of them were, you know, from that specific killer that they were looking for.
Yes.
Majority of these bodies were found close to railway stations, obviously.
Yeah.
Because that was where Andre did all his work. Well, most of his work. The police began narrowing their search. So they were like, okay, well, all the bodies are being found near railway stations. Maybe we should start looking near railway stations.
Yeah.
Brainwave. So they sent out undercover police who were, they had cameras and whatever else. And their job was to film and photograph people who were moving through the station.
Yeah.
And some trains were also fitted with cameras, and they were hoping that in all these recordings, films, photos, whatever, that if someone went missing, they'd be able to sift through all these photos and whatever else, and that they'd find a picture of
the person
with the killer.
Yes.
So 1990 rolls around, and this is Andre's last year of freedom, and he killed 8 more victims. So January 14th, I've noticed, and I don't know what the
significance or
he tended to kill people around the 14th, like the first May 14th, July
14th. Oh my God, yeah.
May 11th, I know, but it's very close to. January 14th, March 11th. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of them are August 14th, which is my birthday, by the way.
Hang on. Oh, it is, yeah. Hang on. When was the cunt born? What date was he born on?
Let me check. 16th of October. Oh my God, he's my mom's birthday. And he died on the on February 14th. So I feel like, I don't know what it is, but I feel like a lot of his stuff occurred around the 14th, that it was a couple of days beforehand, yeah, a couple of days after. A lot of his stuff happened mid-month. Obviously, there was others that didn't, but I just noticed it when I was doing my notes that a lot of it happened around the 14th.
More so to me, like, more than a coincidence. Like, I definitely had to have, like...
It just, like, the 14th...
Another,
like,
meaning.
The 14th has cropped up four times now.
Yeah.
Do you know? And that's only so far in my notes. We'll see if it comes up again. But, yeah. So, January 14th, 1990, Andre meets an 11-year-old boy named Andre Krastavinsko, who was standing outside a Shakti theatre. So, do you know, like... Where musicals and shit goes on. So Andre was speaking to this young boy and he lured him away from the theatre under the pretext that he was going to be shown these imported Western films that Andre said that he had at home. So that he basically brought in cowboy and Indians movies and these are the Westerns, Clint Eastwood, whatever else. I have them at home. I've imported them. Do you want to have a look? So this young lad is obviously like interested in that kind of stuff and he's like, yeah, of course. And he goes back.
Yeah, let me have a look.
Yeah. So Andre kills this boy and he stabs him and the boy was emasculated. And I was wondering, I wasn't 100% sure, and I don't know if really, but whether it's the full shebang or if it's...
I thought it would have just been the testicles, to be honest. That's what I would have thought. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because without your testicles, like, you can't, you know what I mean? Like, I know he was only a small child, but like, you can't get a rise. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
He couldn't.
I googled it.
What is it?
I just typed in emasculated surgery and it's the removal of the penis and testicles, but that's also more recent and it's
okay.
It's kind of come up here as it occurs voluntary within the transgender community. So it's kind of gender reassignment. So that could be more of a more modern way of using the word. I suppose it's not exactly important.
No.
Specifically, but this young boy, anyways, his body was found in a secluded section of woodland the following month. And hadn't Savannah said when we recorded the last episode that she was talking about these, the strips of wood?
Like, his killing grounds woods.
Yeah, do you remember she was saying that they, what were they called? Ugh, doesn't fucking matter. Anyways, that there was basically woodland around every so often that was like windbreakers, the windbreaker woods.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about? So, anyways, I presume that's what they're talking about again.
Yeah.
So, March 7th, 1990, Andre kills a 10-year-old boy named Arislav Markarov after luring him away from a Rostov train station to the Rostov Botanical Gardens, and his body was found the following day. March 11th, the leaders of the investigation held a meeting because they obviously needed to discuss what was going on.
Not like, the fuck's going on, yeah.
Have it made any headway? Any progress being made? So Fetisov was in charge, this man named Fetisov, and he was obviously under, you can imagine, massive pressure from the public, the press.
Of course.
And the Soviet Ministry of the Interior, because obviously they were like, you need to solve this case, what the fuck is going on? At the same time, they don't have much to go on. They've already told Andrei, no, it's not you, and he's the only one who really can be, so who is it? The manhunt had been like very intense, but between 1985 and 87, it kind of fell back a little bit, because only three murders had been linked to this spree of murders.
Right.
But by March 1990, six more victims were linked. So obviously they ramped it up again. They were like, okay, he's still going and he's killing a ton of people.
Yeah.
So at the same time, the Soviet news media was much more free in their reporting. They were less repressed, so they were able to report on whatever, not whatever they wanted, but more on what they wanted to report. They began reporting on this manhunt and the case gained much more publicity. Fetisov, who was the head of the investigation, also noticed that there was a lot of like areas of the investigation that were kind of weren't up to scratch. And he said that if people didn't cop on and the killer wasn't caught soon, people would be fired.
Yeah.
I get as well, but also at the same time, there's not much people can do if there's not really, like, they're already doing quite a lot in regards to
trend. Yeah.
Like, they're not really doing enough, but they're also doing more than a lot of people, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of investigations, they've done much less and they've done much worse. April 1990, Andre killed a 31-year-old woman, which was a huge fucking jump in age.
Yeah.
He lured her off a train and killed her in a woodland near Donleskov's station, and her body was not found until the 24th of August that year.
Jesus.
July 28th, 1990, he killed a 13-year-old boy named Vitya Petrov, who he lured away from a Rostov railway station and killed in Rostov's botanical gardens. And that's the second, I just want to say, that's the second guy he's killed in the botanical gardens.
God's sake.
And August 14th, 1990, so exactly 5 years before I was born.
Look, there's another 14th.
Yeah, he killed an 11-year-old boy named Ivan Foman in the reeds near Norcus Novokaskask Beach. So, obviously, all these victims were found, and this sparked a massive police operation.
Yeah.
Obviously, several of these bodies were found at railway stations on one specific rail route through Rostov Oblast, and a plan was suggested that they would fill all these bigger stations in the region with obvious uniformed, like, police, mm-hmm. so that, in the hopes, this would push him into the smaller stations where there would be undercover police, like,
yeah.
with the crowd, which he, like, wouldn't notice, and obviously would be easier to catch him.
Yeah.
The plan was approved, and both the uniformed and undercover officers were instructed to question any adult man in the company of a young woman or child, and that they were to note his name and passport number.
Hmm.
So 360 men were deployed to all the bigger stations, and they were to go in their uniforms and made really obvious about their presence, etc. And
yes.
then all the undercover officers were posted at the three smaller stations en route. On the route that the killer had been striking more frequently.
Yeah.
So this operation was implemented on the 27th of October 1990. On October 17th, Andrei killed a 16-year-old boy named Vadim Bromov, and his body was found on October 30th near Rostov's Lekos station.
Mm.
I feel like I'm just listing murders at this stage.
Yeah, but that's the horrible thing about this, because there's just...
Like,
there's
I'm literally just giving names and dates now at this stage.
Like, because there was so much, as in, like, there were so many murders, as well as, like, not a lot of detail was given on a good amount of them. That all
There's
you
nothing
have.
Even to say. It's all the same stuff. That's the thing. It's like,
yeah.
it's just literally, okay, he did the same thing that he did to everyone else now at this stage. Like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, this is one of the date discrepancies, because they're actually
okay.
saying that the operation was implemented on the 27th, but then on October 17th he killed. But this,
right.
it was obviously this operation was implemented before this boy was killed, okay?
Yeah.
And this station had been under heavy scrutiny with the police, obviously, because this was one of the places where he had struck before. Annoyingly, the day that he did kill this boy, this is the day that the station wasn't being patrolled due to a manpower shortage.
Fuck. Well, because someone called in sick.
Basically, there was just a manpower shortage. They didn't have enough men, and this was one of the stations that just wasn't covered. So obviously they found his body, and his murder was immediately linked to the manhunt. He had been strangled, stabbed 27 times, and castrated, with the tip of his tongue severed and his left eye stabbed.
Oh my god.
So I'm gonna say, going back to our conversation before, the fact that they've specified castrated here versus
maybe the
emasculated before is,
yeah, it's probably the whole
the
yeah.
shebang, like. So October 30th, 1990, he killed a 16-year-old boy named Vitya, who he lured off a train at Kirpichnya station. I'm sorry, I didn't even try and say his surname, because there's a lot of consonants. So this station was another station that was under surveillance from undercover police, and this boy was killed in a nearby forest. His body, which was full of stab wounds, as in he had 40 separate knife wounds, was found on the 3rd of November. November 6th, 1990, Andrei kills a 21-year-old woman named Svetlana Korostik, and she went with him to the woods near Leskos station and was beaten, stabbed and mutilated. He removed the tip of her tongue, both nipples, and ate them at the scene.
Oh my god.
Before he covered her naked body with leaves and branches. So...
I would ask what the fuck is wrong with this lad, but clearly a lot.
Clearly so much.
It's the waterlogged head.
Yeah, that's what it has to be. So he leaves her there and he returns back to the station. Mm. And on his way back, he sees four women and a man standing on the platform. The man, who was a Sergeant Igor Rybakov, was a policeman. And he was part of the Forest Belt. That's what Savannah's, the Forest Belt.
That's it.
The task force. And he noticed Andrei walking back to the platform, and he was wiping sweat off his face.
Hmm.
So he watched Andrei go over to a well and wash his hands and face. And when Andre came into the station, the sergeant also noted that Andre's coat had grass and soil stains on the elbows. He had a small red smear on his cheek and what appeared to be a severe wound on one of his fingers. And to this sergeant, Igor, he looked suspicious.
Yes, man Igor.
Yeah, so Igor was a local as well, obviously, and he knew that the only reason people would really ever go into the woodland near this station at that time of year was to gather wild mushrooms, which was like a popular pastime at the time.
Yeah.
But Andre wasn't dressed like a typical forest scavenger. He was wearing more like formal attire, and he had...
So had no business being in the woods wearing what he was wearing, like...
Exactly, like formal attire, like you're in proper clothes, whereas like if you're going out scavenging, you're going to be in wellies and trackies and a big jacket.
Yeah, like shitty trousers.
Yeah, exactly. And like boots or whatever.
Yeah.
And he said as well that he was carrying a nylon sports bag, which wouldn't have been suitable for carrying like mushrooms. Not sure why, but that bag wasn't suitable. So Igor stopped Andre and checked his papers, but had no like actual reason to arrest him, aside from this man looks suspicious.
Yeah.
So he went back to his office, filed a routine report, and he put down Andre's details. He put down his name, you know, his passport details, and like noted that he was a bit suspicious, and wrote down that he had a possible blood smear on his cheek. So on the 13th of November, Svetlana's body was found, and she was the 38th victim linked to this manhunt. The police summoned the officer in charge of surveillance at the station and examined all reports of all the men who were stopped and questioned in the previous week. And not only was Andre's name among these reports, but it was familiar to several officers involved in the case, but because he had been questioned in 1984, which was 6 years later.
Yeah.
And 6 years previous, and had been placed upon a 1987 suspect list, which had been compiled and distributed throughout the Soviet Union. So they'd obviously written down people's names, being like, these men are sus, and sent out the details so that if they were to crop up again, you know, you really need to have a look at them.
Yeah.
So his name was recognized. So they went back and they checked with Andre's previous and present employers, and investigators were able to place him in various towns and cities at times when several victims had been murdered.
Right.
So they started questioning his former colleagues from his teaching days, and it had been revealed that he had been forced to resign from two teaching positions due to repeated complaints of lewd behaviour and sexual assault made by his pupils.
Yeah. Diddling.
Exactly. So police placed Andre under surveillance on 14th of November.
And oh my god, the 14th there again.
Yes, I don't know. It's really weird. In several instances, particularly on like trains and buses, like public transport, he was seen approaching lone young women or children and talking to them. So they said that if the woman or child broke off conversation, Andre would kind of wander around for a few minutes and then he'd go and have a look for someone else to talk to. And he'd go and find another young woman or child.
Yeah.
So the 20th of November, after 6 days of surveillance, Andre was at work. One of his fingers was really badly injured. One of his victims had actually bitten it.
I was going to say good girl, but God only fucking knows.
Yeah. They actually tell us. It tells you what happened. This finger was acting up really badly. It was really hurting him. So he decided to leave work and went to a nearby clinic for x-rays.
Yeah.
He received treatment for his finger, which was broken, and he went home. He spent a few hours at home, then left his house with a large jar, which was full with beer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there was kiosks around the place, and he went to, there was one of them in his local park that would just basically fill up whatever you wanted beer, and you pay for however much beer you had taken.
Yeah.
So he wandered off and walked around with this jar of beer, like looking like a fucking freak, no doubt. So he ran into multiple children on the way, and he kept trying to stop to talk to them, and obviously whatever, you know, just being creepy as he was. And he attempted to talk to a young boy but was scared off when a woman came over. So he kept walking, and he found another young boy that he engaged in conversation until the boy was called away by his mother. So he kept going on, and he was trying to talk to all these young people, and he was stopped by three men in leather jackets who approached him and identified themselves as police officers. He was handcuffed and he was told that he was under arrest.
Yeah.
He was transported to the office of Fetisov, you know, the guy who was like the head of the investigation.
Yeah.
Michael Fetisov, at the regional headquarters of the Department of Internal Affairs. And Andre, who had made no attempt to resist arrest, did not speak for the entire trip there. So he gave a statement claiming that the police had were mistaken and complained that he'd also been arrested in 1984 for the same series of murders, and it was annoying because it had nothing to do with him, and this is the second time he's had been arrested for it, and they needed to leave him alone, right?
Yeah.
So they strip searched him and they found his finger, which was obviously another piece of evidence.
Mm.
Medical examiners concluded the wound was from a human bite. So his second to last victim, Viktor Tyshchenko, was a very physically strong young lad. And at the crime scene, when obviously his body was found, the police found numerous signs of a very physical struggle between the victim and the murderer. This bite had broken a bone in his finger and the fingernail had been bitten off. But he hadn't sought proper medical treatment for this injury.
Yeah.
And they were like, that's really suspicious. Like, it had taken him so long to even try and attempt to treat it. Like, why did it take you so long? So, on the day that Andre was arrested, he had with him a briefcase containing a knife, a length of rope, and a jar of Vaseline.
Oh, the fucking...
fucking Vaseline, like...
Oh, please, God, no. I'm actually just going to pretend that you never said that.
He's so sick, like.
Sick little fat fucking pig, I swear to God.
So a sample of his blood was taken and he was placed inside a cell in these headquarters in Rostov with a police informer. So this police informer was put in and probably dressed up like he was also under arrest and was instructed to, you know, talk to Andre and see could he get anything out of him. You know, just talk away to him like normal, pretend nothing and see what you can get out of him.
Yeah.
And then the following day, the formal questioning of Andre began. So the interrogation was performed by Isa Kostyev, and the strategy chosen by the police, you know, that they were how they were going to get this confession from him, because obviously they needed a confession,
of course,
was kind of make Andre feel like they were on his side, that he, you know, that it hadn't been his fault that he'd done all these things, that he was just very sick and that he needed medical help, which was true, but also he's a massive fucking bastard and medical help isn't going to fix that. But they were like, you know, like, we know it's hard for you, like, there's not, you know, it's, you're not your fault, you're just sick, and blah, blah, blah.
Sick in the fucking so head, like, but...
their intention was to give him hope that if he was to confess that he wouldn't be prosecuted by reason of insanity.
Yes.
The police knew that the case against Andre was largely circumstantial, and under Soviet law, they had 10 days in which they could legally hold a suspect before either charging or releasing him. They needed a confession, right? And that was it. They needed to get this confession out of him. So, after a search of his apartment, police found 23 knives, a hammer, and a pair of shoes, which were later found to match the footprint next to one of the victims.
Fucking God.
That blood test that they'd done on him when they'd taken him in revealed that his blood type was type A and not type AB. So you'll remember...
Yes.
What Savannah was saying.
Yep.
So I can't remember the proper word for it, but basically he was just one of these rare people where your bodily fluids doesn't match. The DNA in your body fluids isn't the same as your blood type. It's very rare for it to happen, but it does happen, and he was one of these people.
Mm-hmm.
There was obviously a load of physical and circumstantial evidence that they had compiled, which said that Andre was obviously the murderer.
Yeah.
So they had to obviously do the... They had to check his blood type. They checked his... saliva, and I don't know if they checked his semen, because I really fucking don't know how they managed that, but I presume they just checked his saliva, because the results of these tests confirmed that his semen was AB, where his blood and saliva were type A.
So they must have had to check it. Yeah.
Gross.
Ew, imagine having to write, okay, hand them out like your dirty magazine there or something, like, here, take that, go on in there and give us a knock on the door when you're done.
You 15-20 minutes, don't be long.
Yeah. We know you're slightly impotent, so it might take you a bit longer, but guess what?
That's your own problem.
No, a lot of time will be given.
Throughout the questioning, Andre denied that he had committed these murders, because...
Yeah.
Of course he did.
If you know, you know.
So he did, however, confess to molesting several of his pupils during his career as a teacher. And he also produced several written essays for the interrogator, which, although, like, it was very, like, evasive regarding the actual murders, did reveal psychological symptoms consistent with those. So do you know how they have psychiatrists come in and they'll draw up a psychological profile for killers? So they'll be like, this man will have been raised like this, or you know, yes. this will have happened to him as a child. He produced these essays that were showing that the profile that had been written in 1985 was accurate. It was very consistent with what had been said. Okay. They said that the interrogator's tactics, like while he was interrogating Andre, made Andre defensive. That he was too... he was too direct, we'll say.
Right.
That he had repeatedly asked Andre direct questions regarding the mutilations inflicted upon the victims. I mean, I get, but at the same time, like, he's not going to say it out like that. Do you know? Especially not if you ask him like that. Like, it has to be someone like him. It's very would be easy enough to manipulate into a bit of good cop, bad cop would work.
Yeah.
A treat, you know, that kind of way.
A treat. Yeah.
Psychiatrist who'd written up the psychological profile, his name was Bukhanovsky. And on the 29th of November, Dr. Bukhanovsky was invited to assist in the questioning of Andre. He went in, sat down in front of Andre, pulled out yeah. his 65-page psychological profile that he'd written about this killer and started reading excerpts. He was like, and it says here that the killer probably had this, you know, blah, blah. After 2 hours, Andre burst into tears and confessed to everything. And he said that he was guilty of all the crimes that he'd been arrested for.
Well, so he made shite of him.
Like, but...
Made shite of him. Like, you know, he didn't read that to him. He read it at him. This paragraph here, if you can actually avert your gaze, says that, oh, killer is more than likely a bald-headed, beady-eyed, impotent little cunt. And Andre, if my eyes are deceiving me,
you have ticked all the boxes.
That's you, love. So hit break, yeah.
It's like a BuzzFeed quiz. Cornered. Are you a baldy-headed, beady-eyed bitch?
Yeah.
Andre said, yes, I am.
Yes.
So Bukhanovsky spoke to Andre for the evening. He was chatting away to Andre, reading out his excerpts, his little extracts of his psychological profile. He probably, I mean, that's a power trip if I ever heard one. I would be living my best life if I was him.
Oh, too fucking right.
He came out that evening and said that Andre was ready to confess. Bukhanovsky had written notes, obviously, during his interrogation or his conversation, we'll say, with Andre. And yeah. the original interrogator went in with these notes and prepared a formal accusation of murder dated on the 29th of November, which was the evening of the expiration of the 10-day time period. So for that day, Andre they would have had to have released him that night, the following morning, if he hadn't been charged.
Yeah.
So they charged him, and the following morning the interrogation was resumed with the original interrogator. And according to the official protocol, Andre confessed to 36 of the 38 murders that police had linked him to, although he denied two additional murders committed in 1986,
yeah.
which the police believed he had committed. One of these victims was Lyubov Golovaka, and he was found stabbed on the 23rd of July 1986. And many investigators had serious doubts about linking him to the manhunt. And the second right. was Irina Pogoryeleva, who was found murdered on the 18th of August 1986, and whose mutilations closely matched those inflicted upon other victims. I will say, if you're going to admit to 36 murders and you committed 38, would you not just admit to the 38? So personally, not saying
yeah.
that the man is telling the truth, but I feel like, why would he lie? Do you know? Like, copycat killers are a thing.
You make a great point.
Like, maybe he was lying, and maybe it's just him being a bit of a bastard, but, like, he's gone in and he's admitted to 36 of the 38 murders. Like, he's gone in and he's read through all of them and he said, I didn't do those two. He probably didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't give a definite answer, but I feel like personally it probably wasn't him who did them.
No, to be fair, you do make a good point.
Like, it's not going to lessen your punishment. Like, you're still going to be punished for 36 fucking murders.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, he was charged with these, and he gave a full detailed description of each murder on the list of charges, obviously the 36, not the 38.
Yeah.
All of which were consistent with known facts regarding each killing. So when he was asked, he was able to draw like a rough sketch of various crime scenes. He was able to kind of, you know, do a general idea of the way the body had been found, different down marks in the vicinity of the crime scene, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Additional details provided further proved his guilt. One victim on the list of charges, a 19-year-old student named Anna Lemesheva, whom Andre had mm-hmm. killed on the 19th of July 1984, and Andre had recalled that as he fought to overpower her, she had said that a man named Bears, which translates to leopard, would retaliate for his attacking her. That if he killed her, you know, this man is going to come after you, not to kill her.
Yeah.
Her fiancé had the nickname Bears tattooed on his hand.
Oh my god, right, okay. Okay.
So this man was obviously a scary man.
Yeah.
And she was like, you better fucking watch yourself because my fiance is going to come after you. So when you started talking about his victims, he referred to them as de classe élément, which is like a French term of that they were basically like undesirables, that they weren't...
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's like social degenerates, isolated from the forces of production and incapable of having a working class like job, that they were lower class.
You want to talk about social degenerates?
Yeah.
You, him, out of all people?
Yeah.
Right, do we start off? Do we list them off?
One, let's do a list.
Right, ostracized, one, because of your waterlogged head. Two, because your father was a prisoner of war. Three, you grew up in a fucking shack, so shut your face. To the point that you tried to say that you couldn't get into university because, oh my God, my parents support and I had to sleep by a transition. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You wore shit poor, but you did not have to fucking sleep there, my love. Do we go on? You had a crooked peen. You were impotent. You had a failed marriage. You couldn't even get up to even get your wife pregnant. You have to push it in with your fat little fucking stubby fingers. And even at that, probably didn't even work. She was probably riding the fucking postman and then had two kids. Right, we're going to say that. You got sacked from how many jobs because you were diddling and fiddling your way through the fucking school and you don't think that you're of a lower standard than anybody else. You got caught wanking in the woods and then tried to kill yourself. Couldn't. Was embarrassed and then had to flee to another fucking country. Shut the fuck up. Literally, shut the fuck up. That's the tip of the fucking iceberg and he wants to call and talk about undesirables. People of other lower class, lower standards, please. I'm actually vexed. I'm starting to sweat. The audacity of this man.
Oh, the fucking audacity. You killed these people because, well, they were lower class, like. Basically, is what he's saying, that they were, you know. You look like you've had one too many fucking anaphylactic shocks, man.
Yeah, the face is like awful lumpy. And not even in like a skin way, it's in like the waterlogged head, I feel like it started like to drip down.
No, swelled like.
And you have lumps. The big massive gums, tiny teeth and beady eyes.
You know when they pull up like fish that live way deep down and they pull them up to the surface too fast?
Yeah, and they go all like flubbly and like...
Yeah.
That's his face.
I'm not saying that again because it annoyed me and it annoyed you. So he would lure these people, you know, mm-hmm. that were better than him to yeah. secluded areas before he'd kill them. In many instances, particularly with his male victims, but not exclusively, he said he would bind the victim's hands behind their back with a length of rope before he would kill them. The next paragraph is super gross. He would start off with stabbing his victims, okay? So initially, mm-hmm. he'd start off with shallow knife wounds to the chest area before he'd move on. Like, he'd kind of work himself up from the smaller little cuts to the chest to deeper stab and slash wounds, which would usually end up amounting to about 30 to 50 in total before he would eviscerate the victim as yeah. he writhed atop his or her body until he achieved orgasm is a direct quote.
Oh my fucking god.
I can feel it in the back of my eyes, like
mine's going, you know, up my neck, and I'm trying to twist my neck to get rid of, but if I do it any harder I'm going to snap my fucking neck and kill myself.
He said that he had became adept at avoiding the spurts of blood from his victims' bodies as he inflicted the knife wounds and, you know, all the little cuts and stuff.
All right, fucking Matrix. Shut up, will you? Like, he's dodging that shit, like, embarrassing food. Oh, wait, no, can I actually just... I'm just going to say something then. Clearly didn't do a good fucking job now, did he? If our man Igor spotted him with blood on his fucking face. After he already wiping his face to get rid of the sweat, but yet you couldn't wipe away a bit of blood, but yet you're able to fucking dodge it like it's a bullet. Shut the fuck up, you big embarrassing food and your beady eyes. I hate this man.
He's so annoying, like, I can't so stand much. Him. He said that he would regularly sit or squat sometimes, right? And I'm just picturing, it's awful. You know that, like, the squat, like, where you, like, you proper sit down on your ankle, your heels?
Yeah.
I hate the thought of him doing that.
I picture him going to squat down, but, like, misjudge the weight distribution and then, like, tippled over. And you know when you do that and you get, like, really embarrassed and you start looking around the place to see if anybody's seen you?
Yeah.
I imagine him doing that and be like, oh my God, fucking Christ, I hope nobody saw that. That's so embarrassing. Meanwhile, there's a whole dead body literally right in front of him.
So he would do that. He'd hang out beside his victims and watch and wait as their hearts stopped beating. And he added that his victims' cries, the blood and the agony gave me relaxation and a certain pleasure. Was asked as well, because he had a thing about stabbing people in the eyes, and he was asked as to why most of his, like, his later victims, that they had been stabbed or slashed or whatever, mm-hmm. but not, like, that their eyes hadn't been taken the way that his earlier victims had, like, they weren't as badly damaged.
Yeah.
He said that he had initially believed in an old Russian superstition that the image of a murderer is left imprinted upon the eyes of the victim. But he said that in later years, he kind of realized that it was just basically just an old wives' tale, and had he didn't feel like he needed to gouge their eyes out anymore.
Sorry, but the fact that he believed that in the first place, and yet again, like, you had the audacity to mock people that you were taught or were of a lower standard than you. You were a teacher and all. You, in your big age, you thought that somebody's eyes literally took a photograph and you could see your murderer self in your victim's eyes. You want to be that dumb.
He's embarrassing.
I understand being superstitious, because we are. Andrea, I'm not sorry at all, but that's...
Yeah,
so but
they're superstitious and illogical.
Yeah, that's not factual. That's like saying that if you sit too close in front of the television for too long, your eyes are going to go square.
Whereas, like, we're waving at a magpie is superstitious. Anyways, so Andre was inside in the investigation room still, and he told the investigators that he had often tasted the blood of his victims. And he said that when he did, he felt chills and shook all over.
That's your gag reflex working. That's what the fuck that is. Disgusting.
This part is gross. Sick as well. He also confessed to tearing at victims' genitalia, lips, nipples and tongues with his teeth.
Oh, Christ. Yeah.
In several instances, he would cut or bite off the tongue of his victim as he performed his, like, eviscerations is the word that was used. Then either at or shortly after the point of death, would run around the body as he held the tongue up in one hand. I do want to say that the part of that that really grossed me out is that he would do that before they died.
Yeah, no, that is sick. Yeah, I fully agree.
He also admitted that he had chewed upon the excised uterus, so that he removed uterus.
Oh, ew, what the fuck? Why the fuck are you chewing on that?
And he had chewed on a uterus, and he had chewed on the testicles of his male victims, but he said that he always, like, discarded these body parts, but he did confess to having swallowed the nipples and tongues of some of his victims.
Oh, you sick little fucking pig.
Over the following days, Andre confessed to a further 20 killings which had not been connected to the case. So this, to me, further kind of basically proves that he didn't do those other two murders, because it just, like, why would he not?
To then go and confess to 20.
I will, copycat killers are very much a thing, because it's like, okay, I can kill someone now and it'll be linked to this one big investigation.
Fully agree, yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me if that there was that one murder that nobody really thought that was him, but then there was the other girl, like, that very easily could have been, you know, she could have been attacked by a random, it could have been a boyfriend, and it's like, okay, well, I make it look like it was him.
Yeah.
Do you know? And then I'll get away with it, and sure, they won't look at me. These further 20 killings that he hadn't been connected to, he confessed to, they hadn't been connected to him because either the bodies hadn't been found, or in the case of Yelena Zakhnatova, because an innocent mm-hmm. man had been convicted and executed for the murder. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, as had been the case with the victims compiled on the initial list of charges, Andre was able to provide details to these additional killings. One of these additional victims, who was 14-year-old Lyubov Volobieva, had lived mm-hmm. in southwestern Siberia and had been killed in a sorghum field near Krasnodar Airport on the 25th of July 1982. Andre recalled that he had killed Lyubov in a millet field and that he had approached her as she sat in the waiting rooms at Krasnodar Airport. He said that she told him that she lived in the Siberian city of Novokuznetsk and was awaiting for a connecting flight at the airport to visit relatives. So he had, you know, lured her away and killed her in a field.
Yeah.
Which is basically his fucking MO at this stage. In December 1990, Andre led the police to the body of Alexei, who is a boy that he had confessed to killing in August 1989, and who he had buried on the outskirts of a Shakti cemetery, which proved obviously that he was the killer.
Yeah.
He later led investigators to the bodies of two other victims he had confessed to killing, and three of the 56 victims Andre confessed to killing couldn't be found. So he was charged with killing 53 women and children between 1978 and 1990, and was held in the same cell in Rostov where he'd been detained on 20th of November. So he was put in there to await trial, okay?
Yeah.
So on the 20th of August 1991, police completed their interrogation. You know, they reenacted all the murders at all the crime scenes, yeah, etc. And Andre was sent to the Serbsky Institute in Moscow to undergo a 60-day psychiatric evaluation to determine whether he was you know, mentally competent to stand trial. He was analysed by a senior psychiatrist who noted that Andre suffered from various psychological problems, which he attributed to prenatal brain damage.
Mm-hmm.
The psychiatrist observed a steady but gradual descent into perversion,
mm-hmm.
which had been made worse, compounded, whatever you want to say, by biological environmental factors. And his increasingly extreme acts of homicidal violence were basically that he was committing them to relieve internal tension, okay?
Oh, so, God bless him. Oh, he was stressed, so he decided to take that out on poor other people.
I would say a lot of it was to do with him being impotent.
Oh, 100%. Literally, no, 100%.
Like, not that he wasn't making excuses for Renton. He was just saying, like, that's... If he...
Oh, no. I know he wasn't making excuses, but I'm just saying, like, oh, bless him, I did him. Oh, wow.
Poor little Andre with his fucking gummy smile. And not even like, a nice gummy smile. I love a gummy smile, but his is fucking gross.
It's not even,
like, gummy in, like, a nice way. It's gummy in, like, a I have no teeth way.
Yeah, as if, like, my gums have actually just formed over my teeth. That's how far they come down.
Yeah. So... He concluded on the 18th of October, which is 2 days after Andre's birthday, that although the 18th.
Oh, I thought you said the 14th. I was like, what? There it is again.
Wait for it. There's more.
Oh, Christ.
He concluded on the 18th of October that although Andre was suffering from borderline personality disorder with sadistic features, he was fit to stand trial. That he wasn't.
Yay!
There was nothing actually. Not that there was nothing wrong with him, but there was nothing wrong with him in that he was competent.
Yeah, in that regard, yeah.
Oh my God, I zoomed the fuck out and I can't read. 1 second. I zoomed out to like 40% and I was like, what the fuck? So, in December 1991, details of Andre's arrest and a brief summary of his crimes were released to the newly privatized Russian media by police. The case went on trial on April 14th, 1992.
Oh.
And Andre had to be placed inside an iron cage when on the stand to protect him from the family members of the victims. So obviously...
Oh, no, let him out. I know they had to. I let free range.
Yeah.
Like a fucking bird.
Do you know when they like put mice into cages with snakes? Like that.
Yes.
Just, and then do a study on like aggression or something. Pretend it's for a good cause.
Yeah. Besides,
the first 2 days of the trial were spent on the judge. There's too many. I can't. Apkuzganov.
That sounded very correct to me.
I forgot. There's other letters in there that I didn't put in.
They could be silent. We don't know.
As Kubzanov was reading the long list of indictments against Andre, and each murder was discussed individually, and on several occasions, you can imagine, relatives present in the courtroom hearing these details of the murders. Broke down in tears or fainted when, you know, they were going through the details of the murder of the person that they knew.
Yeah.
So after he read all this out, the judge announced to the journalist present in the courtroom that his intention to conduct... I've written this so arseways, I'm sorry.
No, go for
his intention was to conduct an open trial, saying that let this trial at least teach us something so that this will never happen anytime or anywhere again. Mm. That, like, he wanted it to be open so people could learn from this.
Yeah.
They began the trial and started talking to Andre. And Andre, when he was responding to specific questions regarding the murders, he often gave these really dismissive replies. When he was questioned as to the specific nature of the wounds he'd inflicted upon his victims and... like how he had lured them away and what he had said to be able to entice them away, he was very dismissive. You know, he was like, oh, it doesn't matter, whatever, you don't need to know that. I mean, we kind of do, but okay. He started getting pissy because they accused him of stealing personal possessions from the victims. And they asked him, you know, oh, did you keep any of the organs that you took from the victims that were missing from the crime scene? Stuff like that. And he was really indignant about this. He was like, I never stole anything from them. Like, I never took any of their body parts. Stuff like that. On one occasion, when he was asked about this indifference that he had towards his victims, you know, about their lifestyle or, like, he didn't seem to have really much of a type, if that makes sense. He didn't have a specific type of victim that he would go for. It was kind of, you're a woman, you're a child, it doesn't really matter.
You'll do. Yeah.
It's, I feel like a lot of it was like, who can I overpower more than...
Yeah, yeah.
He said, I quote, "I did not need to look for them. Every step I took, they were there." So it was opportunistic. It was whatever cropped up.
Yeah, because I mean, our children and women are part of the fucking general population. Like, do you know what I mean? The general public. So, you weird cunt.
Yeah.
Quite literally, they are going to be everywhere you fucking look.
So basically, it was like, no, I never chose any of these people for a specific reason. It was just, they were wrong place, wrong time. So...
God bless them, like...
The judge did not like Andre. And Andre did not like the judge. The judge would berate Andre as he questioned him in detail, telling him, oh, shut your mouth. And when Andre, his responses kind of... he was not a fan of this man. Andre, when he'd be answering the questions, he'd kind of like... Sometimes he'd really try and go for the, oh, I'm, you know, I'm sick, like I'm not well, or I had a hard life. Then he'd start talking about, oh, the repression his family had endured when he was a kid, and, you know, that the charges that were filed were false, and he'd start pretending to be a bit mad. And the judge would be telling him, shut up, shut your mouth, you're not crazy.
You're a big fucking liar, you silly bitch.
And yeah, so the judge, this would happen pretty much whenever Andre was talking, regardless of whether or not he was cooperative or uncooperative.
The judge was just like, I'm sick of hearing you.
I'm fucking sick to the death of you, you absolute bald-headed, beady-eyed bitch. But the judge was being nearly unfair, like, as in, it's not like...
You have to let him speak.
Yeah, it's not... you like, fuck him. But in the at the in point, a court you are of the law. Judge and you need to be...
Yeah.
You're the judge.
Yeah.
You need to be... So, Andre's defense lawyer was...
running with this, I'd say.
Yeah, he repeatedly had to be like, you know... objecting to this and that. Yeah. His defense lawyer kind of questioned whether or not the judge was competent, stuff like this. Which, to be fair, to be taking such an intense dislike to someone, regardless of how obviously guilty they are, it's not on.
Keep it to yourself.
Needs to be a fair trial.
Yeah, keep it to yourself.
Do you know? You're nearly just actually damaging the trial by being like that.
Yeah. That could easily have led that to be in a mistrial.
Exactly. Andre really tried to amp up the I'm crazy thing, right? Started every so often he would just burst into song and he starts singing like socialist movement anthems, which obviously in Soviet Russia or whatever the fuck was not the vibe.
Yeah.
He twice pulled down his pants and exposed himself and started shouting that he was not a homosexual. He claimed that he was pregnant and lactating at a few, like at a couple of points. And he alternated between boredom and anger. So he'd sit there and he'd pretend that, you know, he'd be daydreaming or whatever else. And then all of a sudden he'd get really thick.
As if this man could not get any more embarrassing if he fucking tried. Like, the secondhand embarrassment I'm after getting after you saying that.
It's really embarrassing. He also denied being guilty of several murders to which he had already confessed. And then would immediately go on to confessing to murders that hadn't been even discovered.
Mm.
When the prosecutor was about to deliver the final argument, you know, they do their final, like...
Yeah.
Their final say. Andre broke into song and had to be removed from the courtroom. They brought him in then because obviously he needed a moment that he had the right to speak or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
So they brought him back in and offered him a moment to speak and he said nothing.
I'm like, well, you're there fucking singing and dancing there 2 seconds ago, so what's the crack? I hate this man.
He's so annoying.
He's actually a fucking plague.
Literally. So the defense obviously tried to claim that he was insane and they definitely just told Andre just hype up and amp it up a bit, like,
yeah, actively mad. They're like,
yeah. A group of court appointed psychiatrists disagreed and said he wasn't. So on October 14th, 1992, Andre was found guilty of 52 murders. So there was 21 males and 31 females. One of these one charge had been dropped owing to insufficient evidence, which was probably the one that he said he didn't do and the one that they had also said that they had their doubts about.
Yes.
He was taken from the courtroom to his cell at Novocherkassk prison to await execution, and he did lodge an appeal against his conviction with the Supreme Court of Russia, but this appeal was rejected in the summer of 1993. Following the rejection of his appeal to the Supreme Court, he filed a final appeal for clemency with President Boris Yeltsin, and this final appeal was rejected on January 4th, 1994. And on the 14th of February 1994, he was taken from his death row cell to a soundproofed room in the prison and was executed with a single gunshot behind his right ear. His last words apparently were, "Don't blow my brains out. The Japanese want to buy them." And he was buried in an unmarked grave at the prison cemetery.
Andre,
I tell you now, the Japanese woman wants your brains.
No more want them. And they're fucking waterlogged. Who the fuck wants them? Not even the maggots in the ground want them. You vile fucking septic little piece of shit.
Genuinely. 14 was very much his number.
That was so weird, man.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Just the way that he went about this, I think, puts him in. I'm going to say, I don't want to be bold and say top three, but definitely top five of like the sickest people
we've covered.
Easy top five.
I feel like he's easy top five in most. Like, I feel like the only one other than him that's close that we've done is Dean Corll.
Oh yeah, and I didn't even want to mention that big bitch's name.
The ones that we haven't done, I feel like, I don't think we ever will do because of how bad he was Albert Fish.
Never ever.
So like, I feel like they're
like kind of top contenders for the space.
I think so.
A biggest bitch.
Yeah, like he really ticks all the boxes.
All of the boxes. What's great about this now, and we actually don't have to talk about him ever again.
That's why I like it, and the really bad ones done, because it's like, well, it'll never be an issue again.
It's like, you know, when your maid kind of get the chicken pox and you don't develop shingles later on.
Exactly.
Get it out. The way.
Over and out.
And then you're happy out.
Except for Mary Bell, who doesn't want to be done.
Stupid little bitch. Twice on the bike. 3 times! Literally, 3 times we have tried to cover that little tramp. And
I'm never doing her again.
No, each time something has gone up, whether it's audio that's fucked up, the recording, the mic, or something else had happened. It's just like, she doesn't want to be spoken about. Maybe she is. And maybe that's her way of being like, no.
I hate her.
Don't be talking about me.
Little bitch. She was awful as well though. And I feel like she was awful. One of the worst as well, just for how fucking
separated she was.
We're not talking about her.
No, we're not. No, because we're only going to get
because in case it fucks
rampage.
Up this one.
Yeah.
Imagine fucked up this
episode.
Oh
yeah, no, we're not saying it then. We're going to keep that shit to our fucking selves. Not being spoken about. And I don't think we should mention the other big bitch that we had briefly mentioned there. I just don't feel like we should talk about him either. Because remember, we all got haunted after doing his episode. So we should probably not.
Yeah, no, yeah. We're not going to do any more.
No. But before we wrap it up, have you anything nice now to add for the week? Oh, you're fucking off to New York, aren't you?
I am. I'm going in this time tomorrow. I will be on the plane.
I'm so incredibly jealous.
I know. We will have taken off 20 minutes ago this time tomorrow. If all goes well.
No, it will all go well. It will go all well.
Oh, it will.
And you're going to have a great time. A great time. Find me a husband when you're over there. Find yourself one. Find Leo one as well. And try not to get murdered while you're over there. Do you know? Just saying.
I'll do my best.
Do your best. That's all we can ask for, realistically. Any more positive news? I don't think I
don't.
Do. No. Not a single fucking thing. What we're going to do is we're going to end it now because I can't bear to even try recap the last 3 episodes because I think I might physically vomit. But out of disgust and out of pure embarrassment.
No, I'm happy with ending it right now.
Right now. Now, I'm going to au revoir. I didn't do French, but I'm going to take it that means goodbye. And as Stefana says, well, we're actually kind of coming to the end of Rona now, I think. Like over here, as of today, actually, you don't need masks outside, which is great. You still need them inside.
We don't have to wear masks at all anymore since Monday.
Oh, I fucking love that for you. You know what I mean? Like, so it is. It's all looking like we're coming out the other side of it now, which is great. But I suppose still within the meantime, like Savannah usually says, positive vibes, negative tests. And actually, well, I suppose while we're still at it, keep the people of Ukraine in your fucking thoughts because God only knows how much of a shit show this is going to turn out to be. Like, it's already bad, but I suppose you never know how worse it could possibly get. And with that, Savannah's fucking tagline.
Always be a hypocrite. Don't forget to tense your ankles and
join our cult.